We have been giving Psalm 23 a very thorough treatment on Sunday mornings, and we've actually covered all six verses in detail, and you probably thought we were done, but we're not quite. I want to look at Psalm 23 from a different angle this morning, so once again, would you read the psalm with me out loud, beginning in verse 1? It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Ah, if the Lord is your shepherd, you'll be completely satisfied. He'll provide for you. He'll direct you and lead you. He'll protect you. He'll bless you. And you will dwell in His house forever, starting now and forever, in fellowship with God. That's a great shepherd. I can't imagine why anybody would choose not to have the Lord as their shepherd. I can't imagine, yet people do. And you know, there really is a choice here. You can choose to have the Lord as your shepherd, or there are other options. But I certainly hope you wouldn't choose anyone else. Party of tourists was on its way to Palestine, and its guide was describing some of the quaint customs of the East that they would see. The guide said, "You are accustomed to seeing the shepherd following his sheep through the English lanes and byways. Out in the East, however, things are different. For the shepherd always leads the way, going on before the flock, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Interesting, the party thought. When they reached Palestine, to their amusement, the first sight that met their eyes was that of a flock of sheep being driven along by a man, not led. And the guide was just astonished, and he went up to this man, and he said, "How is it that you are driving these sheep?" he asked. "I've always been told that the Eastern shepherd leads his sheep." "You're quite right, sir," replied the man. "The shepherd does lead his sheep, but you see, I'm not the shepherd, I'm the butcher." If the Lord is your shepherd, He'll lead you into life eternal. You pick other shepherds, you'll be led into destruction, death. It's very important what shepherd you choose. Now, we have talked about how awesome it is to have the Lord as our shepherd in Psalm 23. But there are other options, and I want to take an opportunity this morning to look at the other options. You can have other shepherds if you want. But I don't know why anybody would. And at the end of this Bible study, after looking at these options, I'm going to ask you to turn around and choose your shepherd. So let's consider some other options that the Bible says we can have. Option number one, you could choose to be shepherdless. You could choose to say, "Hey, I just don't want to be a shepherd," you know, or have a shepherd. You know, there's lots of people like that. I'm my own master. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. Self-made man, self-made woman. I don't want a shepherd. Some people choose to be shepherdless. It's an option, but turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Notice something interesting that Jesus said about people who were shepherdless. Look at verse 35. It says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Being shepherdless isn't that great of a condition according to the Lord Jesus Christ, is it? It says they're weary and scattered. Now it's interesting, if you look at verse 35 and 36, you kind of see the activities of Jesus and his real concern for people in his public ministry. Notice his activities in verse 35. It says he was teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing. Then in verse 36 it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And you know, as we've studied Psalm 23, I hope you realize that Jesus is the shepherd of Psalm 23. He really is. And in his public ministry, you see his compassion on people. You see his desire to lead people into truth, lead people into the right paths, and heal people. And he has this heart for people. He is the good shepherd. And here he says specifically of people that are shepherdless, he mourns for them. He has compassion on them. Notice what he says the condition of a shepherdless person is. Verse 36. They were weary and scattered. Weary is a word that means to be tired or troubled in the Greek language. It's also another word that can also be translated to rip or to tear, to lacerate. In fact, the word is used in some Greek texts speaking of wild animals that rip the dead bodies of people. It can speak of being torn. Scattered is a word that means literally to be thrown, cast out. And the idea here is that you have a spirit that's cast out, it's cast down, you're dispirited. You put all that together and Jesus would say a shepherdless person is weary, troubled, torn up inside, dispirited, because a shepherdless person is aimless, they don't have any direction, and they're trying to find meaning in life, and they're trying very hard to find satisfaction. They're going all over the place, from experience to experience, from relationship to relationship, from pleasure to pleasure, and when it's all said and done, after they're trying everything, they're still ripped up inside. They're weary, they're troubled, they're tired, they're scattered. That's a shepherdless person. Ralph Barton, who was a famous cartoonist, ended his own life. And in his suicide note, he wrote, "I have had few difficulties, many friends, great successes. I have gone from wife to wife and from house to house, visited the great countries of the world. But I am fed up with inventing devices to fill up 24 hours of the day." There's a shepherdless person. There's somebody who's trying to find meaning in whatever they can, but they're aimless and they don't have any direction. The truth is that really nobody is shepherdless, though. If you are here this morning and you're saying, "Hey, I don't have a shepherd," what you're really saying is, "I'm my own shepherd. I'm leading my own life." And that may be true, but I'm telling you, you'll lead yourself from here to here, here to there, all over the place, but you won't find fulfillment. You won't find peace. You won't find what you're looking for. That only comes with having the right shepherd. The shepherd of Psalm 23. Now you may think that you're shepherdless, but according to the Bible, you have one of two shepherds. You either belong to the Lord or you belong to the enemy of the Lord, which is Satan himself. That's what the Bible teaches. You are either in the dominion under the control of God, or you are on the wrong side under the dominion, under the control of Satan. So you either have the Lord as your shepherd or Satan as your shepherd. And you might think, ooh, that's kind of weird, but it's true. Turn to John chapter 10. A few books to the right. John chapter 10. Here we see a wonderful contrast between the two shepherds that you could have. In chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus says to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. So then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Again, we see Jesus as our shepherd. He's the shepherd of Psalm 23. He says, "I'm the good shepherd." And do you see his care and his love and his protection? It says there in that passage that as our shepherd, he will gently lead us. It says in that passage that our good shepherd knows every one of us by name. It says that his sheep truly hear his voice. You know why? Because our shepherd speaks to us often and we get to know his voice. We see the protection of the shepherd. In verse 9, he says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." In those days, oftentimes the shepherd would sleep right in the doorway of the sheepfold, the sheep pen. And so anybody that goes in and out would have to get through the shepherd, wolves, lions, protection. Verse 9 says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." He gives us good stuff. He leads us to good pasture. Verse 10, "I have come that they may have life more abundantly." Verse 11, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." That's Jesus. He loves us so much, he gives his life for the sheep, for us. He's the shepherd. There's another shepherd in this passage, however, though. Did you catch it? And this is a dangerous one. Verse 1. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Verse 10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's another shepherd, folks. Very real. Wanting to be your shepherd. Very dangerous kind of shepherd. Now, this shepherd in this passage could refer to false shepherds, spiritual leaders, human spiritual leaders. And I do want to talk about some of that this morning. But ultimately, any false shepherd, any false human shepherd, if you trace them all the way back, you'll trace them back to the ultimate false shepherd, which is Satan himself. And my friend, there is a shepherd named Satan who would want to destroy you. His whole strategy is based on deception, as it says there in verse 1. He likes to climb over fences. He likes to go through back doors. He likes to sneak around. He's called the deceiver, the father of lies. He would deceive you. You know what the best way he likes to deceive people is? By telling everybody that he doesn't exist. Man, if you got a world believing that there's no such thing as a Satan, just watch him run amok. And he's running amok. Verse 10 says what his goal is. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." He would want to steal all your worth as a human being created in the image of God. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. Satan hates God. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of God's people. He's the enemy of people in general. He wants to destroy the witness of a Christian, and he wants to keep others from becoming Christians, destroy their lives here, and bring them to hell with him later. That's Satan. That's his goal. And you can have him as your shepherd, or you can have Jesus as your shepherd, the good shepherd. Now, I know that might even offend some of you. You might think, look, I'm not in league with Satan. I don't really believe in God, but I really don't believe in Satan either. Maybe you think that way. Listen, nowhere in the Bible does the Bible teach that a person can have one foot in the field of Satan or the world and one foot in the field of God. Although the Bible does teach that many people like to try and walk that way, walk the fence. The Bible says you are on one side or the other. There is no neutrality. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." You may not think you are, but you are either under the sway of the wicked one, or you're under the influence of God in his kingdom. And again, that might, you know, freak some of you out. Hey, look, I don't worship Satan. One author said, "Selfishness and immorality are far more consistent with Satan's strategies than drinking blood or drawing pentagrams." To be in Satan's kingdom, all you got to do is be selfish and prideful and a rejecter of God. There's that shepherd. You could have that shepherd. Or you could have Jesus, the good shepherd. There are other shepherds out there, human shepherds, false shepherds, false spiritual leaders. Now, again, ultimately, I believe that all false prophets and false teachers and false shepherds, you could trace them back to getting their influence from Satan himself. But there are many people on this planet who blindly follow human spiritual leaders. And instead of following the shepherd of Psalm 23, they follow this spiritual leader, whoever it might be. That's very dangerous as well. Look what Jesus continued in saying in verse 12 of John chapter 10. He says, "But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and he does not care about the sheep." Now, I think he's speaking of human false leaders. Human shepherds. Hirelings are dangerous. You know what a hireling is? A hired hand. It speaks of someone who is hired to do a specific job. They get paid for that job and they do it just for the sake of being paid. That's a hireling. There are spiritual leaders out there, particularly, I believe, in the United States of America, that are nothing more than hirelings in the ministry. They see the ministry as nothing more than a career, nothing more as a paycheck. There are spiritual leaders in this country that chose to be spiritual leaders. They thought to themselves one point in their lives, hey, I could be an accountant, could be an engineer, surveyor, constructor, or a spiritual leader.
I'll choose spiritual leader. That sounds good. I'd like to do that. And then they go to school. They get their degree. They have a resume. They candidate with different churches. They get called. They're offered packages with benefits. And there they go. It's almost like a career. And I believe there are many spiritual leaders in the pulpits of America that aren't even born again. It's that who I'm speaking of. Now, hear me straight here. I am not against schools, seminaries, or anything like that. I believe if you are called into the ministry, you should seek training and try to get equipped as much as you can. But there are those guys that are just in it as a career. And those guys are dangerous because it says, hey, when the wolf comes, what does the hireling do? Bye. See you later. Doesn't really care about the sheep, just takes off. Those are dangerous spiritual leaders to follow. You don't want to be following a hireling. I got this email a number of months ago. I think I shared it on a Wednesday night a couple months ago. That just blew me away. Street Bishops, a U.S.-based international ministry, has the authority to ordain you this week. Street Bishops believes that ordination should be given to all who ask, regardless of their theological thought, as long as they are committed to serving the hearts and minds of man, following the guidance and love of God. One of the benefits of being legal, a member of the clergy, you will be authorized to perform the rites and ceremonies of the church. Hey, you can do weddings. You can earn part-time income officiating marriages on weekends. Funerals. The simple fact is that people die every day, providing a never-ending need for funeral officiants. Baptisms. What a special way to welcome a child of God. Pastoral counseling. Just as clergy have for centuries been advisors, you too can enjoy limited privileges as a pastoral counselor. Correctional facilities, prison ministries. You can go into the prisons. Hospital ministries. Want to start your own church? After your ordination, you may start your own congregation. We can offer much assistance as you begin your new place of worship. Which religion? Street Bishops doesn't care. We've ordained Protestants, Catholics, Jews, and other traditions serving God. Goes on to say, our goal is to make this life-changing step easy and affordable so average folks like you can benefit from the advantages of being ordained. Therefore, the administrative cost for processing the ordination is only $29. For an administration fee of only $29, you will receive a professionally printed 8x10-inch color certificate and letter of ordination, proof of minister certification in your name. Now, somebody who gets ordained to the ministry like that, are they really going to care about you? My brothers and sisters in Christ, the call to the ministry is not a career, believe me. It is a calling. And people who are called to the ministry have to be so serious about it, committed to it. Don't follow a spiritual leader who's just in it for a paycheck. There's a worse type of spiritual leader, however, that many people follow. The corrupt spiritual leader. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. This is in the Old Testament now. Go left. If you find Isaiah, Jeremiah, then you'll find Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. Now, this is one of those heavy passages. I've read this passage often. This applies to shepherds, spiritual leaders. Oh, is this a tough passage? This is God's judgment against the spiritual leaders of Israel in the day of Ezekiel. And this is something that you should know. Those of you who are at a church, going to a church, man, this is something you need to know. You got to have good spiritual leaders good shepherds. Look what he says. This is what the Lord says to the religious leaders of Israel, beginning in verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 34. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. What are they guilty of there? Spiritual leaders weren't giving to the people, serving the people. The spiritual leaders were exploiting the people, getting rich off the people. That is an abomination in the sight of the Lord that's despicable. A spiritual leader who would manipulate the people of God to line his own pocket with money, oh, it's disgusting. And I'll tell you what, you see that a lot in America. It's scary. I feel so, man, woe to the religious leader who's doing that. Goes on and he says, verse 4, concerning the shepherds, the weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. They weren't doing their job. The shepherds were ripping off the people, and then they were also not doing their job. Their job was to help people, to seek out people that were lost, to heal up the brokenhearted, to do what they can. They're not doing it. That's corrupt spiritual leadership. Look at the last sentence of verse 4. With force and cruelty, you have ruled them. The spiritual leaders in the day of Ezekiel were cruel and forceful spiritual leaders. They were legalistic. They were making it tough for the people to serve God. They were putting burdens on the people of God. They were demanding things of the people of God. They were ordering the people of God around. Much like the Pharisees in the day of Jesus. Jesus said of the Pharisees, look, they put these huge burdens on the backs of man, but they won't even move their own little finger to help them move it. Spiritual leaders like that. Beware of the spiritual leader who's manipulating people, who's being forceful, hard-handed, heavy-handed on people. They're out there. Folks, I just heard of a shepherd in our community who was telling the members of his flock, you should not go get your hair cut. You should not pay to have your hair cut because you are being a bad steward of God's money. You know, I got to think, as I heard that, I'm thinking to myself, well, does that mean Christians can't be barbers? Beauticians? I wonder if there's any barbers or beauticians that go to his fellowship. Listen, let the people of God figure out how they're going to spend their own money. Give them general principles, but a shepherd should not put legalistic trips and just pile guilt up on the people of God and heavy-handedly tell them what they can and can't do and put them through legalistic trips. It's wrong. It's wrong. But many people submit to shepherds just like that. And it does do an incredible amount of damage to the Christian. It warps them. They start thinking differently and inaccurately about God. Look what happened to the sheep here. Verse 5. They were scattered because there was no shepherds, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all of the mountains on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth. and no one was seeking or searching for them. Oh yes, if you follow a corrupt shepherd, you will wander. You will be scattered. It will be tough for you. Then the Bible speaks of wolves in sheep's clothing, tares, false prophets, false teachers. These are the guys that are involved in cults. People that actually lead others astray from the true Christian faith. They'll destroy you. They'll lead you into wrong pastures. All right. I don't want you to feel like you shouldn't trust any spiritual leaders. I'm hitting hard. You know, on the other end to this, remember that God has given pastors to the church to help, to lead. And I want you to understand that there are good shepherds out there. There are good spiritual leaders that we should follow. You know, I have been blessed in my life, gang. I've had many good shepherds than I've had bad shepherds. I've had some wonderful pastors in my life and spiritual leaders in my life that have led me along the path, the way I should go. And there are some wonderful spiritual leaders out there. And I'll tell you, here from the bottom of my heart, it's my desire to be the best pastor that I can possibly be and to lead this fellowship as biblically and as sound as I possibly can be. Now, I won't promise that I'm going to be a perfect pastor. There's no such thing as a perfect pastor. But I will do the best I can. But even that said, even if you have a good human shepherd, if you have a good pastor, a good spiritual leader, even saying that, who's to be your ultimate shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, David said. And any good human shepherd will always lead the people to the good shepherd, the best shepherd, the great shepherd, Jesus. Beware of a pastor who's always drawing all the attention to himself. Come to me. Let me control you. No, a spiritual leader leads people to the Lord. Let Jesus be their shepherd. You know, I got to tell you guys, that's comforting to me many times. See, the Lord is my shepherd. And there are times as an under-shepherd, as a human shepherd, as a pastor, that is so comforting to me because there are times when I deal with things in your life, things that happen at the church, things in people's lives, that I'll tell you, I just can't even begin many times to understand it. And what do I say and what do I do? And there are times when I deal with some of you and you're going through a problem or something and all I can do is say, you know what, let's just both go to the shepherd together. Because he's the shepherd. I appreciate so much what Steve Brown said. He's a pastor. And he says, there's a sense of relief in remembering that I'm not God and therefore not responsible for being God. He says, sometimes as a Bible teacher, I feel that God has put me beside a cliff where people dance close to the edge. I say to them, look, if I were you, I wouldn't get so close. I've seen people go over and they always get hurt. Some of them get killed. And they say, Pastor, I really appreciate you telling me that. I didn't realize it was so dangerous. And then they jump. I've gone to the Lord and said, Father, I'm tired of standing by this cliff. I tell them not to jump and they thank me just before jumping. I feel so responsible for the pain. And the Father reminds me through his word, Son, you are not responsible for the jumping. You are responsible for the telling. And as long as you are faithful, you don't have to play God. We're all responsible to the Lord as our shepherd, and I lean on him a lot. Now, that doesn't mean that I shouldn't be the best that I could. Offer the advice that I can. Pray. Give counsel from the Scriptures. I love what Edward Bratcher said. He said, ministers cannot walk on water, but they can learn to swim. But even that said, folks, the Lord is my shepherd. Don't follow a human being around as your shepherd. Follow Jesus as your shepherd. He's the good shepherd. There are other shepherds that the Bible mentions. In fact, there's another word that I think you could relate to shepherd, and that is the word master. A shepherd really is the owner of the sheep, the master of the sheep. And the Bible says that there are other masters available. You can have other masters that you'd like to serve rather than having Jesus as your shepherd or your master. Listen to this verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Ever heard that one? Mammon is the god of money. You cannot serve God and money. Money can be your master. Or God can be your master. You cannot serve both. It doesn't work. Either God will serve money in your life, or your money will serve God in your life. Many, many, many people have money as their master. That's what they live for. That's what they go for. That's their drive in life. Folks, that's why they get up every morning and take a shower. Time to go out and get some more money. Serve money. Money's my master. The end of that is destruction as well. The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is your master. That's what you want. In fact, listen to this incredible testimony. In 1923, at the Edgewater Beach Hotel in Chicago, Illinois, eight of the most powerful money magnates in the world gathered for a meeting. These eight, if they combined their resources and their assets, controlled more money than the United States Treasury. In that group, there were such men as Charles Schwab. He was the president of a steel company. Richard Whitney was the president of the New York Stock Exchange. Arthur Cutten was a wheat speculator. Albert Fall was a presidential cabinet member, personally a very wealthy man. Jesse Livermore was the greatest bear on Wall Street in his generation. Leon Fraser was the president of the International Bank of Settlements. Ivan Kruger headed the largest monopoly. Quite an impressive group of men. Let's look at that same group later in life. Charles Schwab died penniless. Richard Whitney spent the rest of his life serving a sentence in a Sing Sing prison. Arthur Cutten, the great white speculator, became insolvent. Albert Fall was pardoned from a federal prison so he might die at home. Leon Fraser, the president of that big international bank, he committed suicide. Jesse Livermore, he committed suicide. Ivan Kruger, he committed suicide. Seven of those eight great big money magnates had lives that were disasters before they left planet Earth. That way does not work. And you know, I've read testimonies like that and I think, and I've even thought to myself, yeah, but they were rich. I'd handle it differently. Have you ever thought that way? You won't. Money cannot satisfy you. It can't be your shepherd. It can't be your master. Your master should be the Lord. Jesus, the good shepherd of Psalm 23. He's your shepherd. Let him be your shepherd. He says, look, if I'm your shepherd, hey, I'll take care of you. All those options. Bible says there's also other things that can master you in life. Addictions, sins, habits. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. We should not be under the power of any substance, any lifestyle, anything that would master you. Compare that to being mastered by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no comparison. There's no comparison. King Parmer V, the last king of Tahiti, before the Society Islands were ceded to France in 1880, was addicted to a particular bottle of French cordial liquor. Before his death in 1891, he asked the French government to have his grave attired with the likeness of a bottle of the type of liquor that he had craved in his whole life. Man, he wanted to die in a bottle. Is that all that life is? That's all that life is for some people. And those addictions lead people to death and destruction. Oh, the Lord, let him be our shepherd. Well, you can choose to be shepherdless, but you're really not. You're really not shepherdless. You're trying to be your own shepherd, and ultimately you're in the wrong side. You're in the camp of Satan. Or you can choose to kind of see your life as following some spiritual leader. Be careful. Don't let any human leader eclipse the leadership of Jesus Christ in your life. Don't let money be your shepherd. Don't let anything else be your shepherd. Here's Jesus. Here's the other options. Choose your shepherd. Who do you want? Which one do you want? Who do you want to be the shepherd of your life? Oh, that all of us like David could say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's bow our heads this morning, and I want to give opportunities this morning. Lord, nothing compares to you. And Lord, give us faith right now to see that. Yes, Lord, you may be invisible. We may not be able to see you right now. And there may be times where we go through dry times, but we believe that you are real and that you are a true part of our lives and you're walking with us, and we want you to be our shepherd and to lead us and to direct us, to care for us, provide for us. You are better than any other option. If the Lord of Psalm 23 is not your shepherd, if Jesus Christ is not your shepherd, he can become your shepherd right now. If you've never asked Christ to come into your heart and to forgive you of all your sins, remember in John chapter 10, he said, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. He died on the cross for your sins. He gave his life for you. He died on the cross for your sins, and he rose again the third day. If you ask him to come into your heart, forgive you of all your sins, you'll be saved, and you'll become a part of his team. If there is anyone here this morning who has never done that, has never asked Jesus, I want you to do that right now. You bow your head and just pray this prayer. Ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior and your shepherd. Pray this in your heart. Lord Jesus, nothing compares to you. I know that. And I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to come into my heart and forgive me of all my sins. You've given your very life for me. I accept you. I want to be born again. I want you to be my Savior. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, welcome into the shepherd's camp. Good pastors there. And if you prayed that prayer, I want you to come forward after the service and I want you to share that with